This morning we would like to continue our thoughts on justification. In prior weeks we've considered justification by grace and justification by blood. And as we think about justification being a legal term, we want to think about it in three distinct courtrooms. And justification by grace and justification by blood applies to the eternal courtroom, because from Hebrews chapter 9, Jesus Christ appeared before God in heaven to make a blood atonement for all of the elect. And the reason for that blood sacrifice that made all of the elect righteous is not by works that they did, but rather it is by grace alone. So this morning we would like to consider justification by faith. And it's important to understand the distinct courtrooms, because justification by faith does not make one just before God, but rather justification by faith occurs in the courtroom of the heart and the conscience of the individual believer. Before we delve into justification by faith, first we need to distinguish where faith comes from. Only a person that has faith can be justified by faith. I think we would all agree with that. But we need to understand that all men do not have faith, and therefore all men do not have the ability to be justified before God. Rather, it's only the children of God that have already been quickened by the Spirit of God. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, we are told at the end of this verse, "According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." But as we read the entire scope of Scripture and not look at this verse in a microscopic manner, we understand that all men do not have faith. Now, what Paul means as he writes to the church at Rome is that every man without distinction had faith. There was not a difference of the faith of the Jews and of the Gentiles. The church at Rome was a very diverse congregation, just as he addressed in the first chapter of Romans in verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There is no distinguishing between the faith of a Jew and the faith of a Greek. They all have one singular measure of faith, not a different manner or a different measure of the faith that was given to them by God. First, we need to note that there are men that do not have faith. So this is not an all-inclusive statement. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, the same man that wrote that statement to the church at Rome in Romans 12 and 3 made this statement in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2, "that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." The Apostle Paul declares that all men do not have faith, and we understand that that is certainly not an all-inclusive statement in the negative, that all men without exception do not have faith, but rather there are some unreasonable and wicked men that Paul interacted with that exhibited no evidences of a child of God in their life, and he concluded from that they did not have faith. So the Holy Spirit does confirm that there are men without faith, and I believe there's very strong circumstantial evidence that the Apostle Paul penned the book of Hebrews as well. So again, the same man, the Apostle Paul, writes in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So the reason why the people that's under consideration in this verse did not respond to the gospel is because they did not have faith in their heart to receive it. So there's men in this world that simply do not have faith. And it's important when we understand justification by faith that it's not as is commonly presented that all men have faith and we have to complete the transaction of salvation by having faith in Jesus Christ, but rather the only men that have faith are those that have already been quickened by the Spirit of God, and the only people that are quickened are those that have already been justified by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by grace that we've already considered. So where does faith come from then? Well, it comes as a result of the new birth, when the Spirit of God quickens the heart, the dead, stony heart of the children of wrath. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law." Now, when God implants His Spirit in the heart of the child of God, these could literally be rendered as the attributes of God. And the measure of faith that he gives the child of God is the Spirit. When he gives a child of God the Spirit in his heart, he gives them that measure they will have their entire life. They receive faith in the new birth. And those that do not have the Spirit do not have faith, and those that do not have this are not regenerated children of God. It's important to understand when we see faith exhibited in the life of someone, it's a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit is a manifestation of a tree. It's an offspring of it. It doesn't come on its own. The fruit of a tree is dependent upon the tree to be manifested. And faith cannot be manifested apart from the tree. And faith cannot be manifested except by the Spirit of God. This is emphasized all throughout the New Testament, but in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So when we see someone that has faith in God, that is not how they're born again, but rather that is evidence that they are already born again. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now we'll find that men are justified by faith when they believe on Jesus Christ, but these scriptures tell us that the only way that one can believe on Jesus Christ is if they have the Spirit of God, and that faith that is a fruit of the Spirit is manifested when the Spirit of God already resides in the heart of that person. And there are many other verses that we can present in the New Testament that teach the exact same thing, that faith and the manifestation of faith, which is belief in Jesus Christ, is an evidence, is a fruit of the Spirit of God and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of a child of God. So it's important to understand that only those that have been justified by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ did save, are the only people that receive the new birth that can believe, that have faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Notice again in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. This is one of the effects of faith, that faith is revealed from another person to another person. Notice this quote from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4 at the end of verse 17. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm going to read that again. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. This does not say that the faithful shall be just. This does not say that those that have faith will be made just before God, but rather the just shall live by faith. What this means is that those that have already been justified in the sight of God by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that have received the holy calling in their heart, that have received faith in the new birth, now in their life, they live by faith. The just shall live by faith. The predominant teaching in Christianity is that man is justified in the sight of God when he has faith in God. So that teaching essentially reads, those that have faith in God shall be just before God. But our text rather reads, the just shall live by faith. Those that have already been justified in God's eternal courtroom, when they hear the gospel and they believe the gospel and they trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they have faith that Jesus Christ is their only hope of salvation, they feel and they understand to be just before God in the courtroom of their own conscience. Notice Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Paul in this chapter in Romans 10 is agonizing over the fact that his natural kindred, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal of God because they've already received the new birth, but they don't have the knowledge that they need to. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see, the Apostle Paul's natural kindred were not believing on Jesus Christ as their only hope of salvation, but rather they were placing their hope of salvation and eternal life in their fulfillment of the law. But notice what it tells us in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So Jesus Christ is the only hope of salvation, period. But for those that believe that and understand that, he is the end of the law to where they can place their hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ and rest on the finished work that he accomplished on the cross. We see this internal justification presented by Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. These are the same people that the Apostle Paul was describing in Romans chapter 10. They believed that they were righteous. They were ignorant of the righteousness of God, and they were trying to establish their own righteousness. And these are the same people that Jesus Christ is addressing. They believed that they could make themselves just before God. That's very important to understand as we're considering justification, how men are declared righteous and made righteous before God. They believed that they were righteous, but they believed that they were righteous by their own works. So Jesus delivers this parable as a condemnation against them. Verse 10, two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Again, notice the Pharisee was trusting in his own righteousness. He did not believe in Jesus Christ as the end of the law for his righteousness. He viewed himself as righteous by his own works. But notice, on the other hand, the publican. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't see himself as righteous, as holy before God, because of his own deeds, but rather he saw that he was a sinner. And he understood that God was his only hope of salvation. And this man understood that God's mercy was the only hope for a sinner like him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, what was the effect of this? Did this in any way affect whether one of these was a child of God or not? Absolutely not. But it did affect the internal attitude of the heart of these two men. Verse 14, I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every man that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, this publican was not justified in God's eternal courtroom. He was not justified before God because he prayed this prayer, but rather, he viewed himself as just before God. Why? Because he trusted in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. Whereas this publican trusted in his own righteousness. And even if this man was a child of God, he did not go home justified by faith in his own heart. Now, as we think about the courtroom setting of justification by faith, only a child of God who has been quickened by the Spirit of God, that has received faith and the Spirit in the new birth, can be a defendant. So this is not anyone that can be justified by faith, but rather only the child of God can be justified by faith in their heart. So in any courtroom, we have to have a law. So what is the law that's under consideration? Not only does one receive faith in the new birth, but God actually writes his own law in the heart of the child of God by his own finger when he quickens them by his Spirit. Hebrews chapter verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be them to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. The law of God is written into the heart of every child of God in the new birth. Now let's notice from Romans chapter 2 how this law that's written in the heart is examined by the actions and by the faith of the individual child of God. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Notice the language of verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Scripture is very emphatic from our message on justification by grace that man is not justified before God by works. But yet, in verse 13, we find that the doers of the law shall be justified. Well, that's clearly the workers of the law, those that perform the works of the law. It says here they shall be justified. But how will they be justified? These Gentiles did not have the written law, but they did have the law written in their hearts. So notice, their conscience is bearing witness. From verse 15, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. What this verse means is that the conscience of the quickened, regenerated child of God examines the actions. At the end of the day, after we've committed so many actions, our conscience will examine our actions that day, and based on whether we have done the law, if we were doers of the law that day, we will feel to be justified before God. They will excuse our actions, but if we have not walked in the manner that we should that day, and we have fallen short and committed sins and offenses that day, our thoughts and our conscience will accuse us. Now, this has no bearing on whether Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, but when you lay down your head at night, if you have not done the law of God that day, you will be accused by your conscience, and you will not feel to be justified before God at that time. But the other side of that coin is that when we have done the will of God, we will feel to be excused and to be justified before God. Notice the interaction between works and faith. We examine our faith and our works to make a declaration or a determination in our own hearts of whether we are just before God. Notice the example of Abraham from Romans chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. If he has done good works, he does have a certain reason to have confidence, but he doesn't have a reason to have confidence before God in his eternal courtroom. But then in verse 3, what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Notice the language. When Abraham believed God, it was not counted unto God on behalf of Abraham and made him righteous before God. But notice, who was this righteousness counted to? It was counted unto him. It was counted unto Abraham. So when Abraham did the good work of having faith and believing God, he does have whereof to glory, not before God, but because he believed God and he had faith in God, it was imputed unto his own heart that he viewed himself as just before God. We'll deal with Romans chapter 4 in more detail in our next message on justification by faith, but notice the effect of justification by faith from Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So when Abraham believed God, it was counted towards him, it was imputed unto his own heart, that he had confidence that he was just before God, and notice, it gave him peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God? It's not by our own actions. That's how the Pharisee from Luke chapter 18 thought that he had peace with God. But how do we have peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 2, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. See, we stand in grace by the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we partake of that. We have access by faith. Faith is the conduit. It is the door by which we enter into the access point of the grace that we stand in, that we have been justified in the sight of God by His grace. And now we have access by faith when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have confidence that we are made just before God only by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. Notice what it says at the end of Romans chapter 4. Again, we'll deal with this more in detail as we look at the example of Abraham of justification by faith. But Romans 4 and 24 says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. Righteousness was imputed unto the heart of Abraham when he believed on God. But this is also given as an example to us. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. You see, when we believe on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that righteousness is also imputed into our own heart. And we have peace before God. Our hearts do not accuse us, but they excuse us. And we have access by faith into the grace that we stand in only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. Again, notice the correlation between the actions that we undertake, the faith that we have in God, and the state of our confidence and our understanding of our legal current position before God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. My little children, let us love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That means don't just talk the talk, but you need to walk the walk. Your actions, your works need to back up your profession. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. How do we have assurance before God? It's that we exhibit faith by our actions. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. You see, if we live a life where we are showing love, not just in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth, and we are living out our faith by the works in our life and by the actions in our life, our hearts shall assure us before God. Notice in verse 20 though, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If our hearts condemn us and we're not exhibiting faith in the manner that we should and living out that faith by godly actions and godly works in our life, our hearts are going to condemn us. They're going to accuse us. But understand that God is greater than our heart. That means there is a courtroom that is superior to the courtroom of justification by faith in the heart of the believer. If a man's actions condemn him or accuse him, and he views himself as not just before God, just because he's a disobedient child of God, that does not make him unjust in God's eternal courtroom. Why? Because God is greater than our heart. But you see, we want to perform good actions and live lives of faith. Why? The just shall live by faith. If we've been justified before God, we want to live by faith. But why do we want to live by faith? We have assurance before God. We have assurance of eternal life, and we have peace before God. We have assurance that we have been made just before God. Verse 21, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. If our hearts condemn us, we don't have confidence saying, look at all the good works that I've done and how righteous that I've been, and because of that I'm justified in the sight of God. But rather, we have confidence in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we view ourselves in the position that we already are in Jesus Christ. We are just before God by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we view ourselves as just when our hearts assure and excuse our actions, and we have faith that yes, I have been made just in the sight of God by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our next time on the program, we would like to spend more time considering the example of Abraham as the example of justification by faith. But we see that this justification is in the individual heart of the believer. We judge our faith and our works that manifest from that faith. They are judged against the law that God has written in our heart. And our works and our faith either accuse us or excuse us before God. They assure us or they condemn us. But when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have confidence that we have peace before God, that we have been made just before God, and we have access into the grace wherein we stand legally and positionally by the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. Men are not made just in the sight of God by exhibiting faith, but rather those that have already been made just by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those exact same people that were justified, are those that have received this calling in the heart where they receive the new birth and they receive faith. And because of that, and because they have faith that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they will see themselves in the righteous condition that they are already in. The just shall live by faith.